I just wasted like 5 minutes.
Yes, you did.
All right. Good morning, folks. Good morning to all our listeners. I am Daniel Radcliffe.
And I'm Rebecca Michael.
And this is Real Empowerment. As you can tell, today is a wonderful day here. This episode is going to be personal for me because it's going to give me the opportunity to become learned.
Educated.
And in an area that I am not as familiar as I should be, to be honest. This month is June, if my mind serves me correct, and June is Pride Month. Now, you're probably asking or listening and like waiting for me to say what Pride Month is. But guess what, guys? I cannot give you that exact definition. So we have two wonderful guests here to educate us from their perspectives on what Pride Month is, what it represents, and what is it? What does it mean to be an individual that identifies with the LGBTQ? I have to count on my fingers when I do that. Yeah, community.
Plus.
Yeah,
plus.
Yes. So today I am grateful to have present with us, and L, I'm definitely going to mess up your last name. we have Christopher Robinson.
Robertson.
I always try to do the Winnie the Pooh thing.
I know a lot of people.
Forgive me. Okay. Forgive me.
It's all right.
Robertson.
Yes, there you
Christopher
go.
Robertson and L, not just the letter L, but L, how do you spell your first name, L?
E-L-L-E.
E-L-L-E. I should have known that.
Yeah, right? You should have known that.
Hey,
like
man,
the magazine.
They have a magazine called L?
Yes. Yeah.
Like I live under a rock, guys.
Yes. All right. No kidding.
It would mean nothing if I said I've never seen it, right?
So, it's like you're disabled or something.
Right. Who would have thought? And your last name, L?
Living Good.
Living Good. I got you. Bam.
Is that your last name?
Yes,
yeah.
It really living, is my last name.
Living Good.
She's Living Good.
Living Good.
Living her best living life.
That's a great name.
Thank you.
It actually is very telling of the person that it represents.
Yeah. Very true. Yes. So let's give a round of applause, even though we don't have the button.
We need
for
a button.
L and Christopher. Welcome, guys.
Yes. But we can call Christopher Chris if that's easier.
Yeah. All right. All right, man. I was going to call him his street name. Sea Dog.
Sea Dog. Okay.
That's, no? All right. All right. We won't
Chris
do
is
that.
Fine.
That's my street name.
Chris is fine.
All right, guys. This is going to be fun. I can already see that.
Yes.
All right. So, Pride Month, guys. Could we get a little background on what Pride Month is?
So, 50 years ago this year, there was a raid on a small bar in Greenwich Village in New York. And that bar,
I think it's pronounced Greenwich Village.
Greenwich, I'm sorry. Why did I say Greenwich? I knew that.
I don't know.
So, at that time, Judy Garland had died fairly recently. I think the night before, or two nights before, and the New York Police Department had traditionally bothered this bar a lot, and this bar was gay
harassed.
Bar.
Would you say?
Yes.
Yes.
And on this night, they fought back. And the people who fought back were drag queens.
Black and brown trans women.
Truly, truly. And so that was often considered the start of the gay rights movement.
Okay.
50 years ago.
Did they win?
Well, we
depends
we're still
on your definition.
On it.
We're
still working. It's a work in progress.
That's like the typical question when you hear about a battle. It's like, who won?
Yeah. We want to know who won.
Well, yeah, actually, and this bar was frequented especially by black and brown trans folk who were exceptionally marginalized within even the gay community that existed at that time. And so this bar was very much a haven for people who didn't even have a space within the whiter, white, straight, not straight, but just gay community.
Okay.
And so this was a very special place, and the police kept raiding it, not just on that night, but there was numerous times that the police would raid it. They would harass and assault the people in this bar, and it was led by Marsha P. Johnson, who was a black trans woman, and Sylvia Rivera, who was a Latina trans woman. And they were the headliners of this and really started this movement to fight back against police harassment.
Wow.
Beautiful. So it's the civil rights movement all over again.
Exactly.
Wow.
But with intersections.
In what year? I'm sorry if I'm a horrible listener. What year did this situation occur?
June 28th, 1969.
Wow.
50 years ago. I'm sure they mentioned 50
In line
years.
With the civil rights movement, truly. Yes.
You know, wow. what's surprising about it is, you know, Elle touched on it, it's the intersectionality of disability rights, civil rights, and just understanding that all of these components really do, they intersect, they layer on top of each other, mm-hmm. and it's so important that we not only talk about the civil rights movement, but all of the subsequent movements after it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're so grateful for the civil rights movement because it opened so many doors for other marginalized groups to be able to go, wait a minute, I matter too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a person too. I should be treated equally.
Yeah. To quote Stokely Carmichael, he said that civil rights was not made for the individuals it represented, it was made for the people that did not understand that these people were human.
Right.
It wasn't for
novel thought.
Let's say black or brown people. It was for the opposition to know, you know, hey, we know we're human. You just got to realize it.
Yeah.
and treat us accordingly.
Amazing.
Yeah, man. So with the Pride movement, so when did the celebration of Pride Month begin? When was that established? Do you guys know?
The subsequent years when they started celebrating after the initial riots at Stonewall, at the Stonewall Inn, the following year was when they started to celebrate that. And then it became just an annual celebration after that.
It was more localized at that time.
Okay.
And then it became nationwide.
Gotcha. So was that the New York Gay Pride Day? Because I remember the parades, they would have like a Gay Pride Day in New York yearly. Was that the result of
Stonewall?
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. So I did know
June month in its entirety. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's like I said, it was June 28th of 1969, and so the following year they celebrated, and then it just started to become this thing that happened every June, and then now we've gotten to a point where the entire month of June is Queer Pride Month.
Nice. So hold on. So you said Queer Pride. What is the As an individual, I'm totally asking these questions out of ignorance. I do not know the answer. What is the correct terminology? Like, how should I address it? Is it offensive if I say gay compared to queer?
Well, it's the same as within the disability community, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It depends on the individual.
It does.
Oh, man.
So
should I ask first?
Yes, ask first.
No, I'm 55, and there was a time when queer was considered derogatory.
Right.
And now it's accepted by the younger people, and they have embraced that term.
It's been reclaimed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's the N-word of
queer peeps.
Queer peeps.
Okay.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yep.
Changing the narrative, per se.
Because that's honestly, as I grew up, queer was not a word that you used.
Right.
Same.
It was not acceptable to use that word. And it really did become the N-word or the R-word within the disability community. We don't use
the R-word.
So it's really interesting to kind of see how language adapts and changes with generations.
Yeah.
And then also, I think, Chris, when as you grew up, and that was not a word that was used to empower someone, and now it's coming back into our environment, what is your perspective of that?
I've been in the movement since I can remember, since 16, when I really came to realize I was gay.
Uh-huh.
I'm originally from New Orleans. And when younger people started to use the word queer, I had a little trouble with it.
Sure.
But only a little bit, because I realized that younger people were the ones that were at the forefront of the movement.
Mm.
And so instead of having this long line of letters like LGBTIQ, A for ally, T, S for two-spirited. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Sure. And A for also asexual.
Okay.
Guys, y'all just blew my mind. We're going to have to come back to that.
We
keep
will.
Going.
Yes.
But they started using queer as an all-encompassing term.
Okay.
That meant as well as individuals like Elle, she would be considered, I consider you queer, or at least
And that's how I identify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you're not gay or lesbian, as far as I know. So
I identify as pan underneath the queer umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new term, pan.
Pansexual, yeah.
I need to write these down so we make sure we come back to them.
The truth is
so
like a skill.
Interesting.
The truth is, there are 100% heterosexual and 100% homosexual.
Okay.
And then the spectrum in between is everything.
Everything.
So
everything's on a spectrum.
Everything is on the spectrum.
Very cool. Because everything, essentially everything does have a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So that does make sense. So in order to understand the spectrum, you start, it's like the queer spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the best way to describe it?
So I would describe it. Okay. I don't know about you, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's kind of helpful for...
Like, can you take a test to find out where you are on the spectrum?
Like, no. How does
this work? There's the Kinsey scale.
There's a Kinsey scale.
See?
That was created, what, 50, 60 years ago?
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, like, somewhat limited.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it took into consideration that you can be pansexual or omnisexual or trisexual. I mean...
Mm-hmm. Those are newer terms.
Okay. I know, they are. And the truth is... we are all a little bit queer.
Okay.
In some way or another.
Okay.
I don't want to put that on anybody, but
sure.
It's true.
Yeah, it's a spectrum. And then everybody, and there's obviously going to be outliers, but in reality, most people fall somewhere within the bell curve.
So then we're just human.
What?
So then we're just human.
Exactly.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes.
Okay.
Got you.
Yep.
So helpful. Because that was kind of a question for our listeners. You've heard Elle come and talk on many things that we do at the IC, specifically within my department of advocacy. And, you know, when I first met Elle and she started dropping queer, and I'm like,
I can't say that.
Maybe I'm missing something, but it really is really cool to kind of see someone just go, this is how I am.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, within our team, within our agency, you're an accepted individual.
Yeah.
And so it's really kind of cool that we're able to have these honest conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Because it removes the attitude or the barrier that we artificially put in front of ourselves.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, I don't know. And it's not okay to ask. When we're always telling people, just ask me.
Exactly. Yeah. And the less we talk about it, the more we breed stigma and confusion. Yes. And unknowing. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, Daniel, you just don't know. And
right.
If we're not willing to talk about it or even, you know, be open about it, then mm-hmm. it just is continuing to stay underneath this blanket of something I don't want to talk about, which breeds hate and fear.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. People fear what they don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And really, if you just get to know a human being, regardless of your perceptions of a culture or of a group of people, then those barriers get removed, and then it's just natural to interact with someone because they're a person and they have value to bring to your team or to your life.
Yeah.
Right. This might be funny or not funny. Stereotypes are some of the Chris, for gay men, they say, oh, well, all gay men are great at fashion. That's a stereotype that is placed.
It is true.
It's true. All right. So,
we debunked that myth.
We have debunked that myth. You know, and Chris does dress well. But do you guys ever get tired of stereotypes that are not true, that are being placed to be true, and the ones that are true kind of get pushed to the side? Like, no, this really is how it goes down. And they're like, nah, it doesn't go that way. Somebody that's not identifying with the LGBTQ
plus
community plus.
I like the plus.
They kind of they kind of put their own ideals and push them on you. What are some ways that you've seen the change of the narrative of the stereotypes from when you were growing up to now?
I didn't see anybody on television that reflected who I was.
Oh. Same.
Word.
Yes, and so over time, there have been gay characters and representations of those characters or people as human beings.
That's important.
And that is very, the younger people that are coming up now can look at Ellen, can look at Jack, although Jack is a little bit of a stereotype on Will and Grace.
Oh, just Jack?
Sure.
Just
my
Jack.
Guy.
He's a little bit of a stereotype. But I think we need those to juxtapose the real people that represent the gay population in this country. And also there are people outside of television who have also come up in the ranks and we can look at and respect and want to be like.
Wow.
You know? Okay.
Man, that's beautiful, man. Hopefully one day we will see an individual that identifies as gay or with the LGBTQ plus community president. Like that would be amazing.
Who's also black and disabled, right?
You're going too far.
No,
too many layers.
Not far enough.
Dreaming way too big. No, hopefully. Hopefully. Yeah. You know, I can remember growing up and the F word was used a lot to describe individuals that identified as gay, and it was not nice. And a lot of people started using it just as slang to kind of mess with people, but just totally disrespecting the fight of being an individual that is gay or lesbian.
Even the term gay has been used and still is used of like, oh, that's so gay.
Like, I feel weird even saying it today. Yeah. Like, I feel like I should not be saying gay, you know?
Not in a derogatory sense. If it's in a celebratory sense, please do.
Right. I had just removed it from my language, period. Like, I would just, hey, so-and-so, whatever your name is, that's who you are, you know?
Right.
But the growth of America, where we are seeing individuals represented in the media, to Chris's point, which is so important for our children, I would want to ask you, Chris, once again, how was it growing up? You said you really knew once you were around 16. But do you feel that, I'm sure you get this question a lot, do you feel that you were gay from birth? Like, just you were born this way?
Yeah, I've had a lot of time to think about it. So when I was 5, I had a crush on Captain Kirk of the Starship Enterprise.
Yes.
And I didn't realize there was a difference between a crush on the $6 Million Man. I had a crush on Aquaman when he was on. These were shows that I watched.
I think we all had crushes on them.
Yeah. And I just looked at those guys and I thought, I want to be them. And then something else. There was something else there. Sure. I didn't have a word for it. I didn't have anything. I didn't have the internet. I didn't have instant news, instant information.
Yeah.
I was raised in a religious family, very Catholic and Italian. And I was expected from birth to get married and have lots of kids.
Yeah.
And so at 16 was when I heard it from my brother, the word queer. And that was why queer was, you know, a little bit derogatory to me. But at that age, I realized there's something different, really different about me. And I began to close down, shut down. I was really a happy child. And at 16, 17, my mother says there was a change in you. And that was when I came to realize there was something very different going on with me. Okay. And again, I didn't really have the words. I just had one word, queer.
Or the access to knowing.
Access to information. And and so my brother would, you know, pick at me and say, you're whatever, he used the word queer. And by 18, I came to realize this is it. And I was in New Orleans. And so New Orleans is a very culturally diverse, racially diverse community. And thank goodness I lived there because I could leave Catholic school and walk into the French Quarter because I lived in the Marigny District, which was right next door to the French Quarter. And I was exposed to all this diversity and music and everything. And just I sort of came to terms with it on my own, all by myself. And so, again, there were no groups like Inside Out, we might want to talk about later. Here in Colorado Springs, there was nothing like that in at the time in New Orleans. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
New Orleans is a unique place because, you know, going to Chris's point, my mom is from New Orleans, and I was homeschooled for my from the last year of elementary through high school. And so I was able to have tons of access to my family in New Orleans because my school traveled with me. And we had a whole semester of understanding where Mardi Gras came from so that we could go to Mardi Gras. I mean, that was the ultimate goal, was you get a good passing grade on this class, you can go. And, you know, there was a couple of fights that we were in Mardi Gras. That's a whole nother podcast. Just fair warning you now. Nice. It was good times. but, you know, understanding the diverse population of New Orleans. Yeah. And I was given that as a child from my mom. And I was raised in a very Christian, domineering, you know, religion. Yeah. But my mom, who was raised as a Catholic in New Orleans, had a completely different perspective on individuals yeah. and people.
That's interesting.
And you know, she passed that on to my sister and I. And so I guess I got the gift of being able to see people who they are versus the stigma or the title
right.
that describes them. Yeah. And so going back
AKA
to Chris's
basic
point,
human decency.
Exactly.
Oh, that part? Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So going back to Chris's point of being able to kind of be in that pool of unique mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. to be able to come out of that going, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And finding some acceptance, yeah. maybe not as broad as we would need it to be for someone to be fostered into a great environment. Yeah. But understanding that mm-hmm. and going down that road and going, okay, yeah. this is who I am. And now I'm going to just figure out how to live my life without, you know, being marginalized and
right.
all that fun stuff that goes with being in a group of people that isn't accepted widely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I definitely, as a black man in America with a disability, my heart goes out to anybody that is fighting for change, anybody that is fighting to be yeah. heard and to be looked at as human. And directly can identify with the struggles of anybody from the gay community to any minority community, women, anyone. My heart goes out to them, and I'm very proud of you guys for the openness and honesty. I give shout out to Chris often, like, man, thank you. You know, like, yes. thanks, bro. Like, thank you for being open about it and talking about it and not being afraid to educate. Elle is, I call her the Malcolm X of the IC. Like, her passion is on some, on
I'm
like.
Super white passing, though.
She's like the white Tupac out here. So, but with that being said, Elle, how do you connect to the LGBTQ+ community?
Sure. Before we get into that, I just want to stem off your question to Chris,
yeah.
Just for listeners to know that this is definitely a safe space that we're having here, and we're here to educate. So Daniel's question that he asked Chris is totally appropriate. But again, would somebody ask you, hey, Daniel, when did you realize you were straight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just right. for listeners, life, be yeah. you know, being appropriate to queer folk, if you're interacting, it's definitely not appropriate to be like, hey, so right. tell me your story about when you realized you were gay.
Oh, that's
let's
not appropriate.
Unpack that. No, in this space.
In this space, in this space it is.
No, but I didn't yes. know outside
but
of this
outside
space.
Outside of
that
this
would
space,
be appropriate.
Let me ask you again. When did you realize you were straight?
Yeah, I think right? society molded me this way.
Yes. And
really?
That's yeah. such ownership. And that's, it's kudos to, I think, Daniel and just... understanding that you don't have all the answers
yeah.
and then you are asking questions to understand
yes.
and not marginalize
right.
again.
And right. I just don't want listeners to hear this and right. then be like, oh, that's an okay question.
Exactly. That's true.
Let me go ask everyone.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
that
go walk necessary. Into a group and just ask the question.
Right.
Yeah.
When I came to realize I was gay, I thought there was something wrong with me. When mm-hmm. I talk about it now, I say there was something different about me. But
yeah.
but at the time, I said there's to myself, there's something wrong with me. And that is not okay.
Because yes. you were told to believe that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that goes along with this being a person with a disability, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at
absolutely.
The environment that you're placed in, there is something wrong with you. Yeah. So now yeah. we need to fix you.
Well, and if you yep. don't see yourself ever represented mm-hmm. in a positive way, you only mm. see it as a caricature
right.
or a reinforcement of a stereotype that is
right.
negative and broken or wrong, then,
right.
oh, well, that's me. And the only time I see me is when people are saying that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
So, of course, you're going to internalize that as I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Or even give them mm-hmm. what they say you are. You
yeah.
become exactly what they say
yeah.
you are.
Right. Which is why
hence
positive representation. Yeah. right?
Yeah.
For the black community,
yeah.
same same thing.
Or criminals, because when we turn on the news, the
every
only
time
we
I see
our
a movie
face,
where the like the bad guy is black, I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Right.
And then in the horror movies, you die first.
Failure on that. Aquaman. Just throwing that out there.
Chris is like, don't talk about my boo.
Exactly.
I love Aquaman. We're not doing that. Was that? I hope that wasn't.
You're fine.
Okay. Do you find that people tend to be like, hey, was that okay? Like, they're kind of like, they tiptoe and try to be very careful, but it just makes things awkward.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
That's part of our disability awareness conversation. I have this conversation in when I present disability awareness about when people interact with me and my blind side. Mm-hmm. And, is that okay to say that you only have one eye? And I'm like, I encourage it. It's funny.
Right.
But I also have had, you know, a lot of experiences where I've had to make fun of myself.
Yes.
Because people just don't know how to take me sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I spent a lot of time going, yeah, that was fine. Or how about you put this in an email? And Elle and I have had this conversation a couple of times. So, I think it's fair to ask the question.
Yeah,
and if you're ever uncomfortable, I mean, just assess maybe why are you uncomfortable. If you're uncomfortable because you've been complicit in harming people, well, then that's something to unpack. If you're just uncomfortable because you don't know, then feel free to ask questions, right? Cool. And we say this for all marginalized identities. Mm-hmm. Just ask questions.
That's what's up, man. And so, Elle, how do you connect to the gay community?
Sure. So I identify as queer. And then again, like we talked about, the queer umbrella. Underneath that, I identify as pan, which is short for pansexual.
What is that?
Pansexual means that, so you know the term bisexual,
yes.
Right? Uh-huh. That you're attracted to both men and women, which is two genders, right? But people exist in many more than just two genders. And so pan is that you are attracted and love people of all genders.
Gotcha.
Anyone that falls as a human under, again, that spectrum of gender and all of that. So I love all people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a very clear explanation, and I was waiting for something way more complicated.
So would that
it's
make,
pretty simple.
Like, everybody pan in a way that
sort
loves
of. Yeah.
People?
I mean, I used to identify as bi in college. When pan wasn't really a term yet.
Okay.
And even the queer community hadn't really come out yet. It was still the gay community. And I personally, as a bi person, experienced a lot of discrimination, a lot of biphobia from the gay community. I went to college in Las Vegas. And so there was a very prolific gay community. And I got a lot of, you're not gay enough. You're a backstabber. We don't know when you're going to leave us and go back.
Pick a side. Please.
That
kind
of
stuff. Side, please.
The pick a side. We can't trust you.
Yes.
Like, wait, what?
Is it like a gang or something? Like,
right, the bi gang. We're just going to like come in and ruin everything.
You guys are blowing my mind. I don't want to ask stupid.
Yeah,
I have so many questions.
So let me ask this one other question or maybe make a statement because it kind of falls in line with what you're saying is, you know, pick a side, which is really surprising to me because we hear this sometimes in the disability community when individuals have a hidden disability and they're very good at maintaining the hidden part of the disability because they have adapted. Yeah. And so then when you're speaking out about disability rights and start, you know, you're doing some advocacy work towards, you know, making sure that individuals have access, the perception in the disability community is you're not disabled enough.
Yep, same.
And I get that constantly.
Same.
You have one eye, so technically you don't have a vision disability.
Yeah.
You don't use a cane.
You don't use a cane.
Right.
You don't have a guide dog.
I get that you talk, so you're not deaf enough.
Right. And so that could, I mean, those, the parallels are just shocking to me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, going back to your point of I was treated within my own community.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
In this way. So,
and this was before the queer community existed. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't really a space yet. And so by the end of my time in college, the queer community started coming about and it was much more inclusive.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, if you're not straight, you're a part of us. Come be a part of us. We have open arms. And so that was when, for me, I really embraced the term queer because it didn't discriminate against me. I didn't have to be queer enough. I just was queer, and that's all I needed to be. And then I had a space, and I had people and a community around me.
So can I be straight and still be supportive?
You can be an ally.
Ally. Gotcha. That's the LGBTQI intersexed. Okay. A is ally.
And also asexual.
And asexual. But in Colorado Springs, the A is ally. I know that Inside Out Youth Services has an... I can't think of the name of an ally breakfast.
Yes. Okay.
And they have one every year, and the A is especially celebrated as allies.
Gotcha.
So if you are supportive of anyone who's queer and you happen not to be or not to identify as queer, you're an ally of us.
Cool.
So
I get a letter.
You know, and also with that, we've had conversations about individuals who work with individuals with disabilities who don't identify as having a disability, right, but are still advocates for us.
Right.
So another A word.
Yes. Advocates.
Yeah, we can align.
And all the marginalized communities need allies.
Yes.
All of us. Yes. And all of our multiply marginalized identities as well. We need allies and people who will not speak for us, but speak with us.
Yes.
Stand with us.
Yeah. It's very important.
And to get the information to the community of people that may be afraid to ask questions or may have false information, to be able to correct them and say, hey, man, no, that's not the way you go about it. This is not, the media may portray it as this, but it's not that. And they're able to give them the truth. And I find that that would be extremely helpful.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of misinformation amongst us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So talking about, you know, being within the disability community and then in the queer community, we kind of naturally go into the intersectionality of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So can you guys talk about, you know, identifying within this community but also having a disability and what that looks like? What is the perspective of having these two identities and how they either work together or sometimes work against each other?
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You go.
Okay. So for me, I am deaf. I am queer. I'm also Jewish. And so within those three communities, it's hard to kind of find a space to really find representation for all of those identities. There is queer Jewish people, and there's, you know, queer disabled people, and there's disabled Jewish people and all of that. But it's really hard to find all three together.
I would imagine, yes.
Yes. And then, you know, queer is notorious, queer. Pride. Pride is notoriously inaccessible, not only structurally for people who have mobility disabilities, sure, but I'm the access portion as well for people with sensory disabilities.
Get your stuff together, Pride.
Right? For reals. Like this, and, you know, as soon as June 1st hits, everybody starts rainbow capitalism and purporting all the rainbows everywhere and forgetting the origination of Pride in Stonewall, but I digress. But you see a lot of information, all these videos and stuff coming out that don't have captions. And within social justice, there's so much information that is not interpreted or doesn't have captions or events that are held that aren't accessible.
Yeah.
And so it's really important for Pride and people working within that community to make sure that, you know, number one, that Pride isn't just about, you know, white gay people. Mm-hmm. That Pride is about all of the identities that exist within that community. And the queer community is very similar to the disability community in that it intersects with all the other types of communities as well.
Right.
It
doesn't just pick one.
Exactly.
Cultural nationality.
Right. Like we have
gender.
You know, black queer people, brown queer people, Jewish queer people, white queer people.
Sure.
All of it. Disabled. Mm-hmm. Black, queer people, all of them. We have all the intersections, and that's beautiful. That's the most beautiful part about it.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to make sure that we're really being inclusive of all of those identities. For example, I was telling you both about how the DC Dyke March is banning the Star of David, specifically on the Star of David on queer flags, because they're calling it a violent nationalist symbol. Yes, it's a big thing. So marginalized groups oppressing other marginalized groups, even within their communities, like we talked about, the not disabled enough mentality, not deaf enough mentality, not gay enough mentality.
Uh-huh.
And if you study identity development, part of that is just the anger at being oppressed. And so you're trying to isolate yourself against the oppressors. Mm-hmm. So they're I do understand why it happens. Doesn't mean that it's okay.
Right.
And it's something we all need to get over, and we need to address within our own communities and call people out when they're being hurtful and harmful and exclusionary.
Right. Mm. Right.
And being gay doesn't automatically make you inclusive.
Exactly.
There are
same with disability. It doesn't make you automatically inclusive.
Right.
Right.
Right. There are definitely issues within the gay community around race, and like likes to be with like, and so in those communities, larger communities, you have black people together, white people together, and then brown people together, and we have just as much of a problem intermingling.
Gotcha.
The rest of the community does.
Gotcha.
We just don't have it straight.
Gotcha. You're so funny. Yeah, we need a button for that.
Right.
Don't you know how to do that? Well, whatever.
I don't know. I have no rhythm. I'm deaf.
Yes. Funny.
There we go.
There we go.
Like, I know you have it somewhere in that.
Where is it?
That bag of tricks that you have.
Found it. Yes.
So, since we have this platform right now, would there be any, you've given a lot of suggestions as far as inclusiveness.
Yes.
What would you want, whomever the leader of Pride, what would you want to tell them? What would you want them to hear from an individual that subscribes to it? What would you want them to know or ask of them to do going forward?
Well, I've done a lot of education over the years, and so I think the younger queer people need to be educated on Stonewall, for example, and the shoulders we stand on to make ourselves what we are today. And that would be the first thing. That Pride isn't just a bunch of balloons and rainbow flags. It's really an acknowledgement of where we have been, and we don't have that much history. 50 years, I think, is not a whole lot of history when you talk about the United States.
I feel you 100%.
We have other people, but I think the young people need to know that Stonewall happened, how it happened, that trans and drag queens made it happen.
Black and brown ones, specifically.
Black and brown. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so I just think it's much, maybe it's my age, but I think when I go to Pride, I see it very differently than everyone else, I think. A lot of people my age don't go to Pride. And so there's a lot of ageism in the gay community, amongst gay men, especially. So you asked a question a while ago about how do I deal with the intersections, how we deal with intersections.
Yes.
So my, what brought me to where I am today, I had a stroke 5 years ago, in August. And little words, I thought my life was over. I was gay, I had a stroke, I had a partner and his little girl, and I didn't see anything past tomorrow, you know?
Right.
And so 5 years hence, this is where I am. And I thank goodness that I have had everyone around me that supported me and helped me, but it didn't affect me because I was gay. But in the beginning, but later I thought, well, I was really very active in the community, and then I wasn't. And people noticed that I wasn't there, and they often said, where have you been? Often I didn't tell a lot of people that I had the stroke. And I'm so glad that I found the Independence Center, where we can all be authentic, our most authentic selves, and represent ourselves, and no matter where we are in this journey.
Sure.
So anyway, so the thing you said, Elle, about it's not Pride is not accessible. The person who puts on Pride, is his name is Nick Grzeka, and he owns a gay bar here, and he doesn't put it on, but he's one of the main people. And he's open and willing to listen to making it physically accessible. Also, I don't know what they can do about loud noises and flashing lights and everything like that, because I think that's part of Pride. But in Denver, Denver is the third largest free Pride in the nation, the third largest free pride in the nation.
Which is why I've never gone.
It's crazy.
Too
it's
many
crazy.
People.
Too much stimulation.
Oh. 250 to 300,000 people.
Oh my goodness!
Over that
what?
Weekend.
That's a lot of people. That's just a lot of bodies in a close area.
That's a lot
area.
Of power. That's, yes. that's how I look at it. That's a lot of
just
power.
Too, just no for me though. Anxiety. Oh,
wait. That's a lot of people.
So we have Colorado Springs Pride is a lot smaller. They say between 10,000 and 50,000 people. That I don't agree with between 10 and 50,000. I've never seen 50,000 people over that weekend. And I've been to every Pride since I moved here. I moved here in 97. I went to 98 Pride, and I've been to every Pride since then.
Wow.
And I've seen it grow, but never 50,000 people.
So. Wow.
Are straight people welcomed at Pride?
Yeah, sure.
That's pretty cool, man.
As long as they're not causing harm.
Right. Well, that's, you know.
And on that, the Independence Center is going to have a table at our Pride Fest this year on July 13th and July 14th.
Nice.
Yep. And we're going to be there because we are advertising. And, well, number one, we just want to support Pride. And because we have a lot of queer individuals at the Independence Center who have advocated and said, hey, we need to be more inclusive. So number one, we want to support. But also, we are going to be starting a LGBTQ plus disability support group at the Independence Center. The first meeting will be on July 31st at 1 p.m. And then it's going to be subsequently every fourth Wednesday. So my bad, it's July 31st on a Wednesday at 1 p.m. I don't know why I thought Friday. And then every fourth Wednesday of the month at 1 p.m. So we're going to, number one, be tabling at Pride Fest here in Colorado Springs, and then we're going to be supporting or starting a new support group to create a safe space for disabled people who are also queer and make sure that there's a place that people can come and commiserate with each other and feel supported in a safe group where, you know, people are like each other.
Right. And that's we'll beautiful. Make sure that we add that this information to our description and when you can go find our podcast. And, you know, I think it's really important for us to talk about how it is so important to be able to create that safe space. And we've addressed it a number of times already. But, you know, within our climate in Colorado Springs, it's not the most welcomed environment for the queer community. But also, we want to make sure that we provide a space at the Independence Center for disabled persons and their families to thrive. But we kind of, you know, forget some of those other components of a person. And this is just another step towards, you know, including and inclusion and, you know, access for people.
All of the members of our disability community.
Yes.
Not just white, straight, cis-bodied Christian people.
Yes.
But all of the people.
Everyone.
That's so cool.
So
man.
Cool.
Which I love.
Yes.
Man, I want to give a shout out to the entire queer community for the organization. And being able to come together in times of need and fight for your rights the way that it has been done. Like, honestly, in my eyes, it has surpassed a lot of the other movements that were going on because the voice of the queer community is so strong,
right.
And fearless. Like, it's like, I can't even describe when I'm just reading and learning and being around individuals that identify with the community and their sense of belonging and their sense of self-value, that I am who I am, mm-hmm. and I don't have to lower that to cater to others. And I just want to say that I am so proud of the whole community.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really, really, really dope. And it's a lot of strength in numbers and having organization. Organization is key when you have a goal that mm-hmm. needs to be accomplished.
Yep.
Yeah.
So just to kind of close up, I think, you know, Daniel touched on, you know, what
I
you
didn't
guys
touch
would
on
wanna,
anybody.
You didn't touch physically on someone.
Gotta be careful.
But
nowadays,
the
it might
subject...
give me too.
Oh, stop it. Back the truck up. All right. So Daniel touched on a subject,
Wait.
Words, not a person.
Okay.
You touched a table.
Just
when you
making it
question.
Awkward for you.
But, oh, yeah. I'm not awkward. I don't feel awkward.
I am.
Yeah, I know you are. This is the best part about this, is being able to make you feel awkward.
Oh, you can't. Oh, good luck.
Apparently it's not hard.
No, it's not. So I know that you touched on the subject of what you all would want to tell organizers of Pride. Mm. But I think for kind of like a parting comment, I would like you guys to kind of give someone who has a disability, who is in that questioning phase or still trying to find their identity, what kind of encouragement would you give them to say it's okay to be in this environment, or what steps should they take? You know, just some parting comments for them.
I would say you are perfect exactly as you are. In all of your queerness, in all of your disabledness, in all of your whatever color your skin is, blackness, brownness, whiteness, Jewishness, whatever it is, you are perfect in all of that. And I hope that you find a space where you can let it flower and thrive.
Excellent.
That is true. And it would be nice if everyone could feel that. However, I know there are people that feel they're imperfect. Mm-hmm. And they're just not right, or something is wrong. And so, given those things, as well as what Elle said, the Independent Center will welcome you if you come and be part of us, be part of the group, and we'll help you get there, where Elle says you can be.
Yes. Come as you are, and we'll take you as you are, and we'll find all the great things that you are.
And it's okay to be unpacking that and to be hurting in it. Mm-hmm. I did for a long time. It took me, you know, I'm 29. Took me a while to get to be who I am. Yeah. And a lot of that was going through and the pain and the rejection and the being told that you're wrong, and then realizing that there's nothing wrong, and then being angry, and then, you know, being angry for a long time, and then getting over the anger and kind of coming back to a middle ground of like, I'm not broken, but I also don't need to be quite so angry, but I am perfect. I am fine, and I can be open about all of who I am and embrace all of who I am and love all of who I am, you know, in spite of what other people have told me.
Sure.
You know, Daniel, you said you admired the queer community for how strong it is. It's because of that. It's because we go through all of those steps ourselves, oftentimes alone.
Sure.
Sometimes we find our tribe. Mm-hmm. And when we get there, when we are fully acknowledge who we are, what we are, there's nothing that can stop us.
That's so cool. Yeah, goosebumps.
We gotta let that ride right there.
And you know why? One reason I'll stem off of that, I think that the queer community is so strong, is because our passion is around love.
True.
And that's such a innate human aspect that it's something to really rally behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than, I mean, I love my deaf community, I love the disability community, I love the Jewish community, but there's something so unique about love that is something to really, really fight for.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of the resilience.
I agree. Yep. All right. So to find out about all of these great support groups and the new LGBTQ plus disability support group, you're welcome to visit our website. That is www.theindependentcenter.org. You can search for it and then also go to our calendar, and you'll be able to see that in July. The July calendar is not fully updated yet, but you're also welcome to contact our the leaders of this group, which is Daisha, and her email address is dlewllen at the independentcenter.org, or Kim, and her email address is khowell @theindependentcenter.org. And I'll make sure I'll add this information to our description of this podcast. You're also welcome to come visit us at our building, 729 South Tejon, here in Colorado Springs,
which is fully accessible.
It is. It's beautiful. It's got tons of art on the walls.
And waterfalls.
Great people.
No waterfalls.
Well, there are some in some offices.
Waterside, there's a waterfall filled with flowers.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought I was just joking.
Yeah. Okay. Like, wait a minute. Okay.
And then, and anytime during Monday through Friday, you can come visit us. And then, if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to do that. 719-471-8181. And you can ask for Daisha or Kim for more information about this group. Or if you want to speak to Elle or Chris specifically, you're welcome to ask for them at the when you come in to visit.
Absolutely.
Or they can't call Elle on the phone, right?
Yes, because I'm deaf.
Yes. So what's the best way to contact you?
Email would be the best way. So my email is elivinggood, LIVENGOOD, at theindependentcenter.org.
And preferred method for you, Chris?
Text.
Oh, he's giving out his personal cell phone.
No.
You gotta watch
it. Call or email is fine.
Okay. And I will add Chris's email to that the job description. Jeez. The podcast description as well.
The pod description. That's cool.
Lord.
You just made it up.
Talking for a while, eh?
And you can find the podcast in two accessible locations, Podomatic and search Real Empowerment, and you'll get all of our great episodes so far. And then
great.
Share, subscribe, share again.
Word of mouth is great. Subscribe again if you can.
Yeah, hey, whatever.
Unsubscribe and then resubscribe.
I send them to my comments. Family every time.
and then if you need the accessible caption version, you can go to our YouTube channel and search Real Empowerment.
Definitely.
And you'll be able to get all those.
If our podcasts are not accessible for your particular disability,
please let us know
in the comments.
Yes, please.
Yep, definitely. Yeah.
I'm getting the look like, Daniel, are you closing this thing out or what? So I guess I'll close this out.
Think I've been talking a lot.
Cool. No.
You did the beautiful opening.
Yes.
So
close it out, dude.
How do you close out a podcast that's awesome? I think like this. Thank you guys for listening, and please come back and join us for our next episode.
And thanks to Elle and Chris for coming and talking to us.
Thanks both of you guys.
Thank you.
I'm Daniel Ratcliffe.
And I'm Rebecca Michael.
Signing off.